Hello and welcome to what is a fairly special episode of Men in Charge. I'm Kevin Decker.
And I'm Tony Flynn. Today, our episode is entitled, We Can Always Fall Back on Poverty. It was especially appropriate today because we're in the midst of a caste strike. Mm-hmm. Our radio performers have discovered that the promises of payment are as empty as an empty vessel,
a thing that has
nothing inside.
And here's the thing, right? We can always fall back on poverty because we just found out, what is this, our seventh season, getting close to the end of the seventh season, that as volunteers for our local radio station, we don't actually get paid, which is ludicrous. I mean, who carries a dictionary around with them, right, to look up words like volunteer?
I forgot.
Which is the volunteer state? Tennessee? Nobody in Tennessee volunteers. That word doesn't mean anything there. Anyway, what about people who eat two breakfasts?
All right. We're going to get to that question because it has gnawed at us like tapeworm in the belly of the civic mind. Though we mixed some bits of anatomy
We need to set up the situation that we find
ourselves in. That was what I was about
in.
To yeah, do, Kevin. Good. But if you'd like to be the one to set up the situation, I began with the cast members' strike.
Well, and then, of course, there's the fact that we're not in our normal radio studio.
We are not.
Today.
You can hear from the background murmur.
Right.
We are at the Lower Heights Coliseum before a live studio audience. This is a 10,000-seat coliseum.
It's not full yet, though.
It's not. Yeah. There are several people here.
Come on down.
We'll be interviewing them with different questions. You'll also be hearing from Evangeline, the harsh crafts table mistress,
mm-hmm.
who's selling some pretty lamentable products to the studio audience.
Yeah, the Sniffalong Felt and Glue project is particularly worrisome to me.
But that's actually the adjoining coliseum where they're doing
not
ours.
Okay.
But we should get back to what this rather loosely constructed episode will offer us.
Well, first of all, we should say that we intend to air a little bit later in the episode simply the best sketch, don't you agree, that we have ever written, produced, mixed, etc. The casts were absolutely on top form. We have a surprise cast member from a nationally known improv troupe who his voice will sound familiar to you.
Very familiar. And you wonder how we managed to afford him.
Oh, right. Exactly. A little hint is kidnapping. Anyway, we're going to have that coming up, but we want to see how long we can hold you off, listener. How long can you defer temptation?
When we've withheld particular segments in the past, the switchboard lights up.
It does, yeah.
And smoke rises. There's an intensity of desire to hear the withheld mystery guest. We're going to see if we can inspire that level of anticipatory rage this time.
Right. Now, do we want to check in with Evangeline before we get into the two breakfasts conundrum?
Yeah, thank you for reminding me of the core mission to explore the two breakfasts.
Right.
Yes, Evangeline, please introduce yourself, and what do you have available at the crafts table for the studio audience?
Well, here at the crafts table, we've got some warm Sprite, and and we've got corn-based snack products.
Now, I notice you've pre-opened the cans of Sprite for people.
That way, that awful fizziness just doesn't interrupt your drinking pleasure.
And release the noxious gases.
And these cans seem to have variable levels of Sprite in them as well.
It's important to taste test every product, and it's the reason why my little cakes with the noxious cream filling have their unrecyclable cellophane packaging opened.
Makes them drier.
It makes them
mealy.
You need to air them out before consumption.
Exactly, and I only took a small bite out of each one because
you got to taste that too, right?
You got to taste those too.
Well, I think a lot of people have been admiring your incisor marks on them.
Well, long incisors are a mark
a sign of great.
I think that's why we hired you. It was the incisors.
And it's the size of my incisors, which are remarkable.
Plus, she was just on the street, kind of wandering around. So there was,
you looked as if you needed employment of some kind.
Well, idle hands are the devil's workshop. But
I'm going to write that down. That's
a great quote.
Yeah,
I do have a question I want to ask you guys. I'm a little upset because it seems like you've put the only woman here in charge of the crafts tables, and that smacks of patriarchy to me.
Well, I think it. Can I handle this one?
Yeah. I need to. Yeah, I just need to say something about my mom and crafts.
All right,
do eventually,
that and then I'm going to shut this down.
Okay.
All right.
Good luck.
Okay. So, It deeply offends me, Evangeline, that you would say what you did, because my mother was always in charge of the crafts table, and she's a woman. So I'll try to compose myself. Tony, go ahead.
And then let's remember that it wasn't just Kevin's and my decision. It was the board's decision.
Well, why am I not a member of the board?
Because if you're not a board member, you can't be on the board.
Well, then
make
me a board member. I'm here and ready to go.
The board has spoken.
I was just handed a post-it note from
McAllister.
McAllister.
Yeah.
And it says, why don't you write those complaints down and sell them at your table? So that's the power bro implant speaking.
How are we able to maintain this level of patriarchal control if we are listening to snipings from the crafts table?
There isn't enough time for the patriarchy if you listen to the complaints about oppression.
You both are sounding a little bit hysterical.
Oh.
And I think you're letting your emotions get the better of you.
If we haven't gotten to shrill yet, then we're still okay.
Kevin, I have to admit, I'm the one who becomes shrill first.
Okay. All right.
But then you do become hysterical.
My voice gets really squeaky when I get angry.
So. I get hurt, and then I have to go sulk in my trailer.
You guys have trailers?
Oh, yeah. The board is going to give you a shed, I think.
All I got was a broken umbrella.
Well, you're going to have to pay for that. It's like when you, in the service industry, you have to pay for your uniform. We should get you a uniform that you'll have to pay for. Kevin, could you explain the two breakfasts, and then we'll say why are they not available at the crafts table?
Right. So, like most of you listening here right now, I like to get Filipino breakfast. But the last time I was at one, there was a really thin guy who backed away from the table and really loud so that the rest of us eating our garlic rice and eggs on toast, he said, "Oh, I'll never eat two breakfasts again." And I just thought that there was something pointed and maybe profound in that statement, but I don't understand why I think that.
There is no reason to think that. But there is a breakfast conundrum. I mean, if you get up and have an early breakfast around 9:30, of course you're going to want another one by 10.
No, I think this guy just went through the cafeteria line at the place just twice and probably had two trays on the table and just ate two breakfasts.
But the contiguity in time was such that it was really only one breakfast.
I mean, if you get charged at the restaurant per breakfast, I think he got charged twice because two trays, two equals twice. Yeah.
It adds up differently depending upon whether you use all the numbers.
Okay.
At this point, we're going to take a quick break to hear from one of the mightiest songsters in the land, Mark Graham. What will they be listening to, Kevin?
They will be listening to track 8, Oedipus Rex, on his second album, Kings of Mongrel Folk.
Okay, we will be right back.
Kill the man where three roads meet, the truth to you I'll tell. He drew first, but I was faster, and I buried him where he fell. Oedipus Rex, Oedipus Rex, another sad story of a death and sex, where you killed your pa and you married your ma. They don't even do that in Arkansas. Well, I saw the riddle, and I killed the Sphinx, and I saved the whole damn town. Some dirty rander had to murder the king, and the queen and I boogied on down. Oedipus Rex, Oedipus Rex, you're the one no one suspects, cause you killed your pa and you married your ma. They don't even do that in Arkansas. Oedipus, Oedipus, come here quick, there's a plague that's a-coming on down. The gods say the man that murdered the king is a-living right here in town. Call the blind man, get him here quick, cause he'll know what to do. Oedipus, Oedipus, you better get right, cause a murdering man was you. Oedipus Rex, Oedipus Rex, how could a guy get so complex that he killed his pa and he married his ma? You're gonna get a-licking so ha-ha-ha. Oh, I killed my pa and I married my ma. You think my life is cursed? Every afternoon on the Donahue Show, there's a story that's a 10 times worse. Oedipus Rex, Oedipus Rex, you ought to meet my cousin, he's an Oedipus Tex. Well, he killed his ma and he married his pa.
That's a $30 fine in Arkansas.
Oedipus Rex, Oedipus Rex.
Oedipus won't be needing his specs, cause he killed his ma and he married his ma. They don't even do that in Arkansas.
We're back now on Men in Charge. I'm Tony Flynn. Kevin is wandering fruitlessly through the parking lot looking for his car keys. They're in here. I didn't tell him. I wanted to see how long he'd be out there. But to fill in the time for Kevin's lamentable and unfortunate absence, we're here speaking with a member of the audience. So please approach and introduce yourself.
My name's Veronique. And
you seem uncertain.
I'm a little uncertain, yes. Well,
read your name tag. What does your name tag say?
It says...
upside down, it says Veronique.
It's not upside down, yes.
Okay.
Yes. So I'm on vacation here, and I wandered into this amphitheater, and there seems to be something going on here, but I'm not exactly sure what.
You are what is happening here, and thank you for that. But you said you wandered in. Did you slip past the ticket taker?
I guess so. I didn't...
Well, I'm afraid we will be taking $50 from you before you go. But you're on the air on Men in Charge, which a lot of people have thought maybe they would want to do one day, not any day soon. So we'd like to get some personal information from you, as well as the $50 you promised us implicitly by arriving here. So what do you do? Is this a profession of yours, going to various outdoor radio shows and slipping up to the mic?
Yes, I do enjoy that. We look for, you know, on-the-air shows everywhere we go. They're always pretty easy to find. So, and then, you know, look for the mic and just head for it.
Well, you did a good job, and I know the reluctance you initially felt was feigned.
I'm waiting patiently for my turn to be interviewed in the studio audience.
Hey, I got the mic.
Your turn.
$50.
I'll pay $75.
All right, there are options if people are eager to get to the mic. But any embarrassing personal details you'd like to tell the audience?
Oh, gosh, there are so many.
Any outstanding arrest warrants, perhaps?
Not that haven't been served.
Okay. But you have fled, which is one of the reasons you go from town to town, radio show to radio show.
Exactly.
Fleeing the police by making yourself publicly present.
Right. They don't even look there. They don't even think to look.
Yeah, they don't listen to the show. What?
The police are looking for me, too.
All right.
I have a rash.
That's another appealing thought. Thank you. Back away from the microphone, ma'am. We'll have to rinse the mic once again. Well, before you go, could you tell us the next town you're going to seek notoriety in another way?
Terre Haute.
Terre Haute. That brings up a topic that will come up when Kevin comes out of the parking lot. Thank you very much for being on Men in Charge.
Oh, is that it? Is that
yeah.
all?
Yeah, okay. Thank you very much. Sorry.
Sorry, Tony. I see you've been busy while I've... Wait a minute. Okay, there are my keys. They were not there when you sent me out to the parking lot.
That's true.
I swear.
But would you have gone out to the parking lot for your keys had they
no,
been there?
No, that's true.
Then what choice did I have?
I saw while I was out there a beautiful child holding a red balloon.
Did you take the balloon?
No. Were you guys just talking about Terre Haute?
We were.
So this is a great opportunity for me to run a segment for today's episode that I call Kevin Decker riding on the coattails of Men in Charge to make his own personal fortune. And my idea for Hollywood, if you're listening, Hollywood, is this. It's a new sitcom starring an actor who plays Pete Buttigieg and another actor who plays Pete Buttigieg's cute boyfriend.
Husband.
They're married. That's right. And so we got to make that change in the script already. But anyway, one's the mayor of South Bend, Indiana. The other's the mayor of Terre Haute. And they're mayored to each other. Yeah. And then you do jokes.
Okay, my laughter there wasn't real laughter. It was the laugh track.
Oh, okay.
Totally insincere. Okay. But that's a good idea. There could be things going wrong. They could be trying to impose construction on the pathway and maybe put in some orange pylons to block the traffic.
That's pretty much
whenever they're
nutshell.
Quarreling at home.
Yeah, those are good ideas. Also, I think the Pete Buttigieg character would like to bring liberal religion back into the sitcom. Anyway, I'm just going to leave that there. Drop it. Drop the mic.
Well, we did hear Kevin, when you were coming in, a faint bleat of a desperate character who really wanted to be on the air while Veronique was speaking.
That was...
Could you come on up, whatever your name was?
This is the guy who actually suggested to me while I was walking through the audience or kind of over them that the sequel to the sitcom could be Mayored with Children. Thank you for that idea.
Yeah.
I like that.
We're going to wait for the bleating figure. We have another one who elbowed the bleating man forward.
Yeah.
So come to the mic, sir, and thank you for your aggressive posture toward the complainer.
Okay. My name's Horace, and I'm very interested in horoscopes. That's my profession.
That's and, a remarkable serendipity there.
You
works,
sort of had no choice.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Right. I was drawn to this field, and I'm out in the field now. I'm in the field. This is a field trip, actually. So I'm hoping to get my own segment someday. So there we go.
I'm afraid this was it.
That's my elevator pitch.
I admire that ambition, and I have none. So
Horace, if we can call you that, do you have a sign or do you have all signs?
I'm getting one of those next month.
I can read the signs.
You can read the signs?
Yeah. Uh-huh. All the signs.
Interstate 80, all the signs.
I've always wondered this. What really happens when the moon is in the seventh house and Jupiter aligns with Mars?
No, seriously, Horace, this is...
It's the perfect intro. That's what we've always decided.
That is a great intro.
But it has no condition. It inaugurates no particular age or personality change or income boost.
Just one more damn conjunction.
Peace, man.
Yeah, really?
That didn't work.
I'm disappointed. I think Evangeline from the crafts table has a remark on the horoscopes. What might that be?
Well, I have a question, since you're the expert.
Ooh, I'll try to field that question.
Well, I ordered my sign on eBay, and I want to know, will it work? Can I send it back if I don't like my sign?
I don't know. It depends on what the contract was with eBay. I'm an overlord of the signs, but not really... understanding all
the... He does not read them. He controls them.
Did I make a mistake? Yeah. I got the 2-for-1. Is that going to...
That's
cost
the confusion right there.
Yeah.
Right, this
right.
is the new right. I sign, right. right, where you give up your birth date.
I give up my birth date, and I thought, why not get 2?
Right. See, that's the problem.
And now I have this voice in my head.
Yeah, 2 of them, probably.
Is the other voice wrestling for control?
What?
I know. Well, we're a little disconcerted, Evangeline. That would account for some of your surly behavior. And your,
the Shasta.
warm, pre-sipped Shasta.
All of the Sprite is gone, and now we're on to the Shasta.
Well, Horace, I think that is a legitimate question to pursue. Was this a scam, or can you buy yourself a couple of new astrological signs?
I don't know. Sometimes the bargain is a... all it's cracked up to be. When you on eBay, you think 2-for-1. 2 is probably better than 1, but I'd say buyer beware when you're shopping for signs.
For anything on eBay, yeah.
That was a mistake, yeah.
Oh, really? Okay.
In any case, before we go, we should hear from the pathetic gentleman bleating from the bleachers.
Oh,
I mean, there are even seats up front.
It's my turn.
All right.
That's great.
That's
Kevin,
him.
You move. My name is Hubert Hamper, and I'm here to talk about my Lower Heights building business called the Box of Wine Exercise Gym. The Box of Wine Exercise Gym is at 125 Southwest Central.
Are we really going to permit free advertisement?
Does that violate
my ethics in some way?
Kevin is nodding no, but he's kind of on the floor right now, so he doesn't have anything to say.
Explain how the Box of Wine Exercise Gym works.
The Box of Wine is very heavy. And so as you start your workout with crunches and pull-ups, and then the box of wine gets lighter for some reason through the workout, and then you've drank all the wine, and you're both healthy and drunk.
Well, I'm so glad we can cut this short.
125 West Southeast Avenue.
Okay.
Box of Wine Exercise.
I think in many ways you have ruined this portion of the episode.
Thank you
so much. We'll be right back with our mystery guest special segment.
Men in Charge, you know you're on the radio now, right?
Hey, listener, we're back. And
it's still Men in Charge.
It's still Men in Charge, and we still are teasing you, but we will ultimately not just withhold one of the best sketches that we've ever produced here on Men in Charge. Coming up.
With our special mystery guest, to drag out and intensify your anticipation and dread, we have asked members of the studio audience to submit their best guesses about who the mystery guest is going to be. Kevin, whom do we have so far?
Well,
from
me,
a few have trickled in from the audience.
Let me pull these post-it notes that somebody has written complaints on the back of about dry sandwiches
that. No, we're not interested in that.
So this says Sean Astin.
We thought of Sean because he is a crowd favorite.
Right.
We couldn't afford him.
Beyond our price range.
Yeah.
This one says, Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous is Robin Leach. Robin Leach!
And he was here briefly.
We could have pretended that we had him, and I would just do that stunning impersonation.
It was a good one, but actually I was the one who did Robin Leach just now.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That was me.
My mouth was moving, but nothing was coming out. Somebody else said the Don't Squeeze the Charmin guy. Remember that guy?
I do. Mm-hmm. I do. But I think he was in a more desiccated form. I don't think he's with us anymore.
No.
Or if he is, he didn't respond
He could be rolled in a container.
But I don't think his I Fell beacon reached the right authorities. Who else did they think of? Surely celebrities who were women, for example.
Well, yeah, the robot from Lost in Space, for example, and Tony Dow's wife, Beatrice, and Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass. So there
that's a
some,
lot of women you just mentioned.
Yeah.
What about Madge?
Madge?
Madge.
Madge.
Oh, you're soaking
Madge.
In it.
Oh, yeah, you're soaking in it. Now, I remember that you're soaking in it. But
she turned up her nose at this.
Yeah. That was originally supposed to be B. Arthur, fun fact.
Really?
No, you're soaking in it.
Just, she's a little she's a little prickly.
A little bit more of a snarl.
I have the greatest respect for B. Arthur, so please, listener or viewer, do not take me up on that. Thank you.
Take you up on what?
That it sounded like I was making fun of B.
Oh, no, it didn't.
Gentle
I mean,
making fun near B. Arthur.
But again, that was even better than my Robin Leach impression just now.
Thank you. The other unusual one, of course, that we got is Paro, the harp seal, the world's most therapeutic robot certified by the Guinness Book of World Records. And listener, you should have known that we would never have Paro on here because the Guinness Book of World Records does not stoop to certifying therapeutic robots.
It's a pretty ignoble enterprise then to certify therapeutic robots.
I think money changed hands between the developers and the Guinnesses.
And I bet Perrault, the Harbor Seal cuddle robot, never saw a penny of it.
No, he never did.
No.
Exploited.
No. It's too bad. Why is he the most therapeutic robot?
Well,
assuming I'm assigning a gender randomly because no ability to reproduce.
Right, and harp seals, I don't think, have a gender. But anyway, you could say it.
You realize we're not very well informed here.
Well,
what about bay seals?
I already said earlier in the episode, who carries a dictionary around, you know, like an egghead or whatever. So anyway, nobody knows. I mean, what are the criteria for most therapeutic, right? Do we have people writing in to Guinness and saying, oh, I have to share my Paro, the therapeutic robot experience. This is like nothing I've ever had before.
And some would be partially therapeutic,
partially.
Like only a quarter therapeutic?
Right. Well, who are the runner-ups of the therapeutic robot award?
Right. And does it have to have been a therapeutic robot? Wow. And is it measurable? I mean, if you were to assess the therapeuticity of a robot, what would be the response? And because the subject requiring therapy would be wildly variable.
Yeah, they would not be trustworthy in terms of how therapied they got.
No, I can see why the Guinness Book of World Records was reluctant to certify this.
And that having been said, it's a double-page spread for Paro.
But my larger concern is that if they had that in the Guinness Book of World Records and certified it there and refused to acknowledge that they'd published their own certification?
Yeah. No, that's what they did.
Can we trust any of the world records published by Guinness?
I don't know, but I clipped the little thing out of the Paro page that says, send this in with your drawing of Tippy Turtle if you want to hear more about Paro and get your own Paro.
It was just a ruse. You weren't really interested in Tippy Turtle.
No, I wasn't.
Audience skepticism of our preparation and knowledge of robots and therapy is starting to decline.
Also well justified.
We might want to turn back to Evangeline at the crafts table. What have been the fastest selling pre-opened and pre-chewed ingredients at the crafts table, Evangeline?
Well, there are the cream-filled cakes, as I mentioned, and then we've got the hardened cream-filled cakes. And these are cakes that I have opened several weeks previously.
Oh, in anticipation that one day you would be asked to be our craftsmistress.
And yes, okay. And yeah. I've been selling those to the local hockey team because mm-hmm. they seem to work quite well pucks, as yeah. pucks.
They've dried nicely.
They've dried nicely.
I'm poking one in the large sugar combination has totally crystallized the outer surface. It's amazing.
Yeah, yeah, and they make this lovely ting sound uh-huh. from the crystals in the sugar, and it just adds a little je ne sais quoi to the game itself.
Right.
Yeah, I want to go back to the fact that the cream-filled succulent bits of pâtisserie that you said were going well, was it because people couldn't tell that you had pre-remove the cream center?
Well,
that's why they ting, right?
That's why yeah. they ting. Okay. It's the special action of the now hollow center.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, this sugary stuff is fine, but I'm interested in what corn-based snack product from Vichy America Labs topped the sales today.
Well, it's kind of hard to say, but we also had a special salty snack.
That doesn't sound good the way you're saying it. Salty, like herring or something, or...
Well, funny you should mention that because it's deep fried herring in a lovely corn coating.
Okay, so that's corn based.
It is okay. Corn based, and the next booth over sells breath mint, which is, I think,
absolutely
a very
essential.
Important part
that's
of
right.
the sales program.
Yeah.
It's kind of like having candy bars and Diet Aids on the same rack. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. or like drugstore wine right next to the aspirin. Yeah.
Or my script for Muppet Cinema Paradiso.
It is time to get to your new foray into Hollywood.
I do want to return once again to the segment I call Kevin Decker Gets Rich Off of the Coattails of Men in Charge. And so, Hollywood, if you're listening, I have scripts for the following Muppet sequels: Muppet Cinema Paradiso, Muppet Harold and Maude, Muppet My Dinner with Andre, and Muppet Rocky Horror Picture Show with a libretto by Andrew Lloyd Webber. So that's an additional.
Yeah, it'll be different from what we remembered from our elementary school musical productions of Rocky Horror.
Yeah.
As we approach the end and people sit down to dine in the safety of their homes, it might be time to say one more thing about the mystery segment with the mystery guest.
Oh, well, I don't think we ever said anything about airing a segment. This was just supposed to be an all-banter episode. We didn't say anything, did we, about...
No, we said nothing.
Because I don't have a... Yeah, I don't have one. So I don't think we said anything about that.
No.
Evangeline, did you hear us say anything about airing a segment today?
Yes, I
did.
No,
no, no. She...
Let's turn off her mic. Her mic is off.
Okay, yeah, good.
Go ahead. No, I think we can move along. We've satisfied our guests' desire for mysteries.
The listener...
Because it will remain a mystery, and people do not like to have mysteries exposed before them.
No.
It ruins the mystery.
That's right. The listener would probably much prefer us to read the credits.
We'd like to thank our studio audience of 17 and the entire population of Terre Haute.
Thank you.
As well as Ann Porter, Kathy Kerr, Andy Kerr, Kevin Decker, Tony Flynn, and Kevin Decker, and Tony Flynn.
Yes, that's right. And we'd also like to thank Pete Buttigieg, Pete Buttigieg's husband, Carrie Boyce, Vern Windham, Nisha Schramm, Brian Lindsay, and the moral of today's episode is...
Okay. Let's see what's written down here on this sheet of paper. It says...
There should be a moral.
Thank you all very much. You've listened well. Take notes, write in your blogs, and then delete them.